Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Arch Insurance International Pursuing Better Together podcast series. Today it is my absolute pleasure to be joined by a true pioneer of the reinsurance market. Vicky Carter is Chairman of Global Capital Solutions International for Guy Carpenter. She is a key member of the company's leadership team and is also a member of Guy Carpenter's executive committee. In September 2021, Vicky became Deputy Chair of Lloyd's and is also a member of the Lloyd's Risk Committee, as well as the Lloyd's Nominations and Governance Committee. A Freeman of the City of London and a Liveryman of the Worshipful Company of Insurers, she has over 40 years of experience in the reinsurance industry and during her career was the first female founder of a Lloyd's intermediary. Vicky, first of all, thank you very much for joining us today.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Perhaps I suppose I should start at the very beginning by asking, I suppose, how you began your career in the reinsurance sector and also why you chose to enter this particular marketplace.
Nigel, I'm not sure I chose. I'm sure like many of the people listening today, nobody chooses at school to go into insurance. It all happened, I'd say, by fate, really. I started life or my career as training to be a doctor. So I went to St. Bartholomew's Medical School. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time on the lacrosse field when I was at school and maybe not enough time looking at academics. And sadly, although my A-levels were good and I got into medical school, when I got onto the first MB course, I flunked the physics by 2%, and that meant going away and taking another science A-level. So my father said, you know, I'm not going to sub you for another year. I think you should go and work, and I think you should go to the city. And, you know, that filled me with complete horror and dread, because my impression of the city, not knowing anything other than, you know, watching my father come back every night, was boring and dull. Well, guess what? I couldn't have been more wrong. So anyway, I took a temporary job, which was supposed to be very temporary. And here I am over 40 years and I'm still here.
Can you give me perhaps a sense of what that marketplace was like when you joined, particularly when you entered the Lloyd's space?
Oh, my gosh. It was, I mean, so different from, you know, where we are today. And obviously, you know, today so much for the better, but still a long way to go. But to me, it was a very sort of classic, you know, male dominated industry. You know, to me, 1980 doesn't seem that long ago, but actually, when you think about it, it's a long time ago. And it was just a very, very different, old fashioned, very much relationship driven industry. And pretty daunting to come in as a, you know, as a young female into this sort of environment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Exciting, but daunting.
Relatively early on in your career, you already started breaking new industry ground and you became the first female founder and CEO of a Lloyd's broking house. Just how significant an achievement was this?
It's funny, Nigel, it was never sort of a plan to come in and to do all these things. As I said, what I love about the industry, there's so many avenues to go and there's so many opportunities to pursue. You know, I've always taken every opportunity that's come to me. I've never been frightened of doing something. And you know what? I'm a great believer. If you try something and you give it your best, that's all you can do. And if it succeeds, that's fantastic. If it doesn't succeed, you know what? Pick yourself up and move on to the next thing. So I never planned to be the first female founder of a Lloyd's business. It happened by circumstances. There was an opportunity to go and create a new business back in 1992 with a then business partner who had been my boss for a long time. It was just an opportunity to take and a chance to, you know, to jump up the ladder. And it was another job to try and succeed at and do well and build a reputation.
Did you perhaps, though, feel an extra pressure to succeed?
I think it was more about being a female coming into a very male-dominated industry. I had to be fiercely protective over my reputation, number one. Mm-hmm. And so for me, you know, proving to people I'm there because I can do the job and I'm good at the job, as opposed to being there because I'm a female and any other connotation that could bring, that's what was important to me. I grew up in a fairly competitive, sporty environment. I had three brothers and a sister. I was the youngest. Mm-hmm. And all had had very successful careers. And for me, it was just trying to, you know, to be successful at what I did. And I wanted people to respect me for the job I did. And that was absolutely the most important thing to me. And to be honest, continues to be the most important thing. I want people to value me for the work I do.
How important to you is that drive to push or even to break market boundaries?
Really important. I don't think there are market boundaries. If there genuinely is a boundary, there's something wrong. When I meet an obstacle, the way around it is probably to prove better. Mm-hmm. So to not to tackle things head on sometimes, you know, people try to obstruct you, go around them and prove them wrong. Prove sure. that actually, you know, you have a better solution or whatever. So that's kind of the way I've approached it. Mm-hmm. The other thing, I think people think you've got to be a hard-nosed bitch as a female in this industry. And again, I'm a great believer, you don't have to be. And maybe people think you are because, you know, you've succeeded in the industry. But then when they get to know you, think, actually, you're quite normal. So I'd like to think that, you know, again, to me, this business it's a continual learning. It's an industry where every single day you learn something new. And if you think about the environment we're in today, this is an amazing learning journey we're on right now. You know, we've had black swan events that have happened. We've now moved into this incredibly volatile world of climate change, of inflation, of political instability, economic crisis, COVID pandemics, you name it. We're all learning and we're all trying to work our way through a very, very complex and very complicated world right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that goes from the people who've just entered the industry to right at the top. It's very, very different to when I came into the industry, as you just touched on, Nigel. Things have changed so dramatically.
I just wanted to focus on one of the initiatives that you have been very much involved in, the launch of the Marsh McLennan Rising Professionals Forum and Gala, which has gained industry-wide recognition, was very much your brainchild. Can you talk about why this initiative was so important to you and why its goals are perhaps more relevant today than ever before?
Well, let's face it, we are really poor at bringing new talent into this industry. And it's one of the things that I think, you know, we're all waking up to, but far too late. You know, everybody talks about the war on talent. Everybody's got this challenge, you know, with how do you attract good talent? And I think there are a number of things. Number one, insurance sounds boring. And if people don't understand what it's about, they don't have the benefit of having a family member or friend or relation in the industry, they're not going to know how diverse and how dynamic this industry truly is. And I don't think young people have any idea what insurance really is all about and how many different areas it moves into, whether it's into capital, whether it's risk management, whether it's in actuarial, whether it's research, business intelligence. You know, there's so many different aspects of it and so many different lines of business.
Yes.
So I think the first thing we've got to do is better at promoting the industry and the societal good. Because to me, young people are very focused on things like climate change. You know, the younger generation have a very different outlook on life, very different way they live their lives, very different requirements of things they want in their lives than our generation. Mm-hmm. We need to wake up to that. And so we need to be better as organizations of A, being able to attract talent and keep them. And when I came in, learned everything by being out in the market. So when I had the opportunity, when I thought about what could I give back to the industry, one of the things I think is really important is to provide a platform for young people to meet, because yes. one of the things, again, technology will drive to doing more stuff remotely. And that has a challenge of how do people meet face to face and build relationships. So a platform where people can meet and build those relationships, and also a platform to look into the industry and just hear from world-class experts on all the different things that face the industry. So to me, trying to create something around that that was truly valuable to companies, for their young, to inspire them, to maintain them, to keep them, maybe to even encourage them to do things, you know, within their own organizations, that was the driver to me. And I couldn't be more proud of what it's become.
how important is it that, that companies look to empower that next generation of potential leaders?
If companies don't empower the younger generation, they won't succeed. End of story. It's quite simple. Young people have a voracious appetite for learning, and they want things a lot quicker than the generation I grew up in. And I think part of that is the amount of information and data they have at their fingertips today. So I think, you know, the younger generation today, to me, they absolutely inspire me. Every time I sit down with them, they're just full of energy. They look at things very differently. They come with different approach. And I think we should look at that and listen to them and understand, because guess what? There may be a better way of looking at something or doing something that we have never thought about. Again, through the Rising Professionals, I met some amazing, young, talented people. These are people who've been at university, they've had ideas, and now they're following through. They're in their 20s. And to me, what we need to do is we need to encourage them to think, to encourage their thought, because if we don't do that, we're going to stagnate. And
yes,
you know, there's so much opportunity out there to bring new product to the industry. So to me, it's absolutely critical.
Just on that, and talking about that change that we need to see in the marketplace, in your opinion, is the speed and scope of change that is currently taking place sufficient for the industry to, I suppose, ensure its relevance in this changing environment? And a second question, is there enough, I suppose, collaboration to deliver or to achieve what is needed?
Well, there's so many different aspects of that, Nigel. So I think one of the areas where I see a lot more development is around things like preventative, anything preventative. So if you look at the world of cyber, rather than trying to sort out the issues afterwards, I think the focus has got to be much more about how do you prevent these things from happening. As we go into a more digital world, looking at preventative products, technologies is going to be probably a faster growing side of, you know, the post-event type product. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, there has to be a fine balance between traditional underwriting and common sense and new technology, new skills and talent. Innovation is absolutely imperative for our industry. You know, we've got a lot of things to look at: sustainability, climate, faster claims payment, all those things that everybody's focused on today. Mm-hmm. But what we need to do is we need to make sure that we help people transition to that new world first. And one of the challenges, and certainly we've seen it in the energy sector, is you can't just say we're not going to insure anybody that's associated with carbon anymore, or carbon fuels. We've got to help them transition, because things don't change overnight, and that's a challenge. And then the other area, I think, where we have an advantage over a lot of these new techs that are coming through, I mean, the insurtech world is fascinating world, but for them, the challenge is, even if they have the products, they don't know how to navigate it into our industry. Highly complex, from things like regulation, compliance, all those sort of challenges that they need to face, conduct risk. So I think what's protected our industry from real disruption from outside sort of organizations and technologies is the complexity of governance and compliance and regulation.
Of course.
And so, you know, we're in a difficult space, but a massively exciting space where we need to encourage more products. There's no question about that. That means we've got to partner up with technology companies. You know, we've got the insights to the industry. We know what the clients need. The technologies can build the tech,
sure,
bring those together and partner more. And certainly if you look at the insurance gap, with the huge gaps between insured and economic loss, which we've seen in things like COVID and everything, partnerships, public-private partnerships are going to be an absolute imperative way to move forward to make sure we try to cover or fill those gaps with new products and ideas.
Yes. Just specific to the Lloyd's market, I wanted to focus on the work that is happening there in order to bolster the efficiency of the market and its competitiveness and enhance its capabilities. And obviously, this is something in your role as deputy chair that you're heavily involved in. How much of a leap forward is Lloyd's looking to make in terms of applying these market-wide initiatives?
I think the exec at Lloyds now is such a strong executive team, and I think their vision of where Lloyds needs to be is absolutely spot on. You know, they're doing a tremendous job with so many different challenges, like mm-hmm. you've touched on a number of the challenges. So there's a lot to challenge, you know, for a marketplace. And don't forget, you know, Lloyds is all about, it's a little bit like the EU. You've got all these member states and everybody's got their own vested interests. Mm-hmm. Trying to get people to work together is very, very difficult. And one of the things I think we need to do as a marketplace, particularly in the Lloyds market, is get people working a lot more together. And certainly as we go through this challenging market, seeing people to work together is a really important piece of work that I think needs to go on a lot more at Lloyds. We all know that, you know, digitalization is absolutely imperative to businesses to be successful in the future. I think you'll see by 2024 a real transition in Lloyds, and I think the future for Lloyds is very exciting. I think there's some amazing work going on within the Lloyds organisation. The Lloyds Lab, for one, is a tremendous initiative that was formed a few years ago. I think they're up to cohort 9 or 10 now, and the number of interesting, you know, insurtechs and businesses that have come through that and develop some very, very different types of products across a whole range of things, whether it's, you know, safe passage of grain and fertilizers from the Ukraine into Europe, insurance for IVF, you know, couples could never insure against failure of IVF. You know, very, very varied, very exciting, very different things. You know, the digitalization of the market is imperative from a cost effect, from a cost perspective, as well as just an efficiency. And it should be seen by people as being an enabler, as opposed to, you know, causing more sort of infrastructure and costs. But yes, like anything in life, trying to get over these things and trying to change, you know, it's like trying to turn a tanker. It's not going to happen overnight. It takes time. It needs everybody to buy into it, and it needs everybody to work with it.
For success to be achieved, and particularly given the number of initiatives, it's imperative that there is sufficient collective will to yes. ensure that it succeeds in what it's trying to achieve.
Well, if you look at, you know, to me, I look at Lloyds and it's got the most amazing concentration of intellectual capital. I mean, it's really the last true face-to-face marketplace that we have. And people shouldn't forget that. And I think everybody wants to see Lloyds succeed. But if you think about when Lloyds was set up, you know, there weren't alternative platforms. There wasn't alternative capital. You know, it was the only, if you wanted to insure something, you went to Lloyds. Well, today people have got choice. So we've got to make sure Lloyds stays relevant. But again, I think the vision of, you know, the exec at the moment is absolutely spot on. They're trying to change things like the capital structure, trying to bring in some creative ideas like London Bridge and how London Bridge can attract alternative capital in a much more cost-effective and easier manner. They're certainly, you know, working hard on the D&I aspect. So, you know, I think the vision is there, the willingness is there. We need people to collaborate to make sure it succeeds.
And of course, it's all about sort of building the market for the future. You know, what does that future look like? What does success look like in terms of the various initiatives that are ongoing at the moment for Lloyds?
It remains the, you know, specialty insurance market of the world. This is where people come to, you know, to access intellectual capital to help place, you know, complex risks, which are getting more and more complex, where you can get consortia to work together to build substantial capacity. That to me is, you know, where the excitement of Lloyds, and the innovation that will come out of Lloyds. I hope that Lloyds will become the innovation center, you know, of the insurance industry as well. I'd like to see the lab, as I say, accelerate and people really start to value what the work that's being done within that lab, which I don't think people really appreciate. So, you know, I still feel that Lloyds and London is the center of the industry. I think people love coming to London. It's certainly the insurtech hub of the world. You look at, you know, as a financial market, it still remains. And I think our industry, having the center at Lloyds and having the center in London is I hope to see it continue to thrive and thrive.
Absolutely, a very, very positive message there. Vicky, we have covered so many topics. I have one final question for you. And I just wanted to return to our overarching theme of pursuing better together. I just wanted to finish by asking, I suppose, from your own personal perspective, what does this idea of pursuing better together mean to you?
I think this is an industry about teamwork. This is not a one-man show industry. And I think when you collaborate with other people and bring the best knowledge from the best brains together, you create amazing things. And certainly I see it in an organization like Marsh McLennan. We can bring the resource, whether it's from Mercer, whether it's from Oliver Wyman, whether it's from Marsh, whether it's from Guy Carpenter. You put all that together, it's unbeatable. And I think that's the exciting thing. It's the ability to tap into so much information, so much data, so much intellectual capital. And I think that's an absolute demonstration of working together to create products, to navigate, you know, the world we're going into, which is only going to get more volatile. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that as a one-man show. I'm sorry, it's impossible. And I think anybody who sits there thinking, you know, oh, this is all me, wrong. It's all about teamwork. And for me, I'm a great believer of bringing the, you know, the best brains together to really offer and be proud of what you're offering. All parts of companies are being challenged now. So to me, it's all about succeed together and get the best brains together to create the solutions.
Absolutely. A great message to finish, I suppose, our discussion on there. All that is left for me to do is to say a huge thank you on behalf of Arch Insurance International for joining us today.
Well, it's been a great pleasure, and many, many thanks to Arch for inviting me to be part of this today.